It's your Florida State Preview Podcast on the Locked On Syracuse Podcast, getting you ready for FSU, the start of ACC play, kind of, sort of, maybe. It's the early game in December and then back to non-conference play, but a big one for Syracuse nonetheless. We're going to go over the keys to this one and predict this one, plus the prop shop, Debundo's Digits, the usual Preview Podcast stuff. That's all coming up on the Locked On Syracuse Podcast.
You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in. Thank you for making Locked On Syracuse your first listen every single weekday, Monday through Friday. We are here with you guys all throughout basketball season, which is really revving up. So a good time to subscribe to the show. Totally free and available wherever you get your pods and on YouTube as well. You can watch all our episodes there. And today's episode is brought to you by Sonos. Sonos is the official sponsor of ESPN College Football. Go to Sonos.com to learn more. So Florida State on the schedule, Ty, a Florida State team that was picked to finish per usual right at the top of the ACC, but they've kind of struggled to this point, kind of like Syracuse, underwhelming. They were close in a game against Boston University, needed a tip in late to win that in overtime. They've been a little shorthanded of late, and they are coming off a loss in the Big Ten ACC Challenge to a really good Purdue team at a really tough place to play on the road at Mackey Arena. But they lost by 28 points and kind of got blitzed in that game. So it's going to be interesting to see which Florida State shows up here.
Looking at their losses this season, Purdue, Florida, both are understandable. They were underdogs in both of those games as well. So really not a surprise per se that they're 5-2, but the path to 5-2, if you ask a Seminoles fan, probably not the path you would have liked. I mean, close games against Tulane, and you mentioned Boston University there, and then absolute blowouts against Florida and Purdue in games that really weren't that all that close. So I get the frustrations of a Florida State fan, and maybe this team is sort of looking for, okay, once we get into the meat of the ACC, that's when we'll sort of figure out our identity, because this is a team that Florida State, usually a lot of continuity with them. But this year, you look at their turnover roster-wise from a season ago, they're missing a number of very important pieces, including Scotty Barnes, who was a really, really big part of what they did last year. Remember, these two teams didn't face off last year. Got canceled because of COVID last season. So they haven't. There's not that familiarity that you're used to with a conference opponent from year to year.
Yeah, I was trying to think back all day. I was like, man, what did we do against Florida State last year?
I was doing the same exercise. Yep.
Yeah, it was like, COVID, of course. And there was several of those, and you kind of forget. I mean, last season was sort of a blur in and of itself, but they have lost to Florida State the last three times. So 2020 was a loss by three. 2019, they lost at home, and that was an 18-point loss, but at one point they were really in that game. Yeah,
it wasn't an eight. That is the game. That is the infamous Leonard Hamilton timeout that I love. The timeout that you and I always talk about. For those who don't remember this, there was a point in that game in the second half. Syracuse, I think, cut it to 2-1 after being down big, really started to make it a game. And then Leonard Hamilton calls maybe the greatest timeout in basketball history, because it wasn't necessarily stopping a Syracuse run. It was more to gain momentum the other way. It was just, go back, watch the tape. You'll be just as blown away as I was by that. But anyway, I digress.
I actually don't know if they will be. I think that was just more of an inside joke.
But it's a genuine sentiment that I feel about that timeout. Anyway.
Yeah, you were also at that game, and I remember you texted me.
That was one of the – remember the temperature games that they used to do when we were at school? It was like wake up, and whatever the temperature was at 8 o'clock in the morning, that's how many – that's how what the cost of a student ticket would be.
Oh,
if you went and bought it.
About
and that game, it was like -7 degrees, but they said like, oh yeah, like the minimum threshold is $1 per ticket. So we got into the building for $1 a piece, and it was a good time had by all.
Yeah. So Syracuse 7-5 in the all-time series, but they've lost 4 of the last 5. The 2018 meeting, you might remember, because Tyus Battle scored 36. It was a really good game down in Tallahassee.
Double overtime, right? Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Lost that.
That's the
one.
Thing is, I looked at some of the matchups all time. They've played 8 times since both teams have been in the ACC. 6 of them are 10-plus point margins, but the games feel way closer than a double-digit game.
Yeah, that was a 101-91 final, but it was double overtime, and it was every bit, you know, down to the wire there. The last time they won – was when they upset number 6 Florida State at the time. It was the NIT team, Gillen, White, Leiden, inside the dome when they were going on their run, a little too late, but picking off some top 10 teams there inside the dome, some big wins. That was probably shortly after, shortly before John Gillen hit the shot against Duke, had the win against NC State, Tyus Battle shot against Clemson, that sort of fun run there in conference play. But bottom line is Florida State's been really good recently, and they've usually beat Syracuse. They have experience against the zone, but I will say a lot of newcomers on this Florida State team this year. This is not a lot of guys that fans are going to remember. There's a couple familiar faces, like an Anthony Polite that's now a senior, and they're asking him to be sort of their guy this year, and he really hasn't taken as big of a step as maybe they need to this point in the season. But a lot of their key guys are transfers and freshmen.
And one of the notable transfers, Caleb Mills from Houston, played against Syracuse last season in the NCAA tournament game. But there's maybe that lack of experience.
Well, he didn't play because he was hurt. But yeah,
that's right. But he was in on all the game plans and stuff like that. So he kind of has a feel maybe for it. But I'm looking at the last time that these two teams played, Joe Girard and Buddy Boeheim are the only two holdovers from that game. I mean, Barama Sidibe was, but he's not obviously not going to play in this game, not going to factor in.
And there was some news about Barama, just real quick when you bring that up. Like Jim Boeheim said basically today on ESPN Syracuse, who's on with Paulie and Stephen Fonte, saying that it's not looking likely. He came back to practice, swelling happened again, and there's no timetable right now, just for anyone that missed that.
Right, yeah, that is big news. Glad you shared that right there. But that game a couple years ago, Buddy had maybe his worst game of college. Like, maybe his worst game. 0 for 7 from the field, 33 minutes, 14 offensive rating in that game. And by the way, Anthony DeBundo is going to put us through the meat grinder of offensive rating later on in DeBundo's digits. Joe Girard was actually fantastic in that game. He was like 5 of 12 from 3. I think he had 25 points in that game. Elijah had a great game too. But they don't know what All-American Buddy looks like. Like, if you told Florida State players on that team, and there's four of them that played in that matchup that are going to be in this matchup here coming up this weekend, if you told those guys, hey, yeah, one of those guys is going to be an All-American candidate, all of them probably would have said, oh, it's probably going to be Joe Girard. But by the time you get to this game in 2021, but the tables have turned a little bit, and Buddy Boeheim's the one playing like an All-American, not Joe Girard.
Yeah, it's an interesting team because it's pretty much what you usually get with Florida State. They're the tallest team in the country per KenPom. Yep. They don't play anyone more than 27 minutes. They play a lot of bodies. They're all athletic.
By the way, did you see on KenPom how many guys they have listed?
Yeah, it's a huge, I mean, it's the 17. Opposite of Syracuse.
They go 17 super guys are listed on KenPom. Like, usually it weeds out the walk-ons. It doesn't put the walk-ons on. But there are 17 guys listed on Florida State's KenPom right now.
Yeah, and their highest score is Caleb Mills from Houston. He's averaging 12.5 points a game, which it's interesting because Caleb Mills was kind of just like a, you know, fill it up, not really that much of an impact player. When he was at Houston, a lot of people around the Houston program, he left in the middle of the season last year and then entered the portal, and Houston actually started playing better. And they were sort of like, yeah, I know he was picked to finish all conference in our league, but we're a better team without him. And he scores 22 against Purdue when it's sort of garbage time. That's almost sort of fitting. He's a really good player, and he can heat up in a hurry, but it's sort of an odd fit with Florida State. He's a super talented guy. I just don't know how well he translates to their team balance sort of style that they have there.
And I guess that's where Leonard Hamilton comes in, right? He is the great equalizer. He's the guy, like, maybe you've had some shaky spots along your career. I think the same thing can be said about Cameron Fletcher. Same thing happened sort of with him at Kentucky, where he was a guy, kind of fell out of the rotation, transferred, found a nice landing spot in Florida State. And it's one of those things. It's a culture thing. And I think Leonard Hamilton's got a fantastic one there at Florida State. So those are the type of guys that you're willing to take chances on because you trust the guy that's leading them.
All right, well, we are going to get into our prop shot picks in just a little bit. Some more keys to this game. Also get you to Bundo's digits. But BetOnline has you covered all season. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. As football season continues the march to the playoffs, they remain your number one spot for all sports action this season, head over to BetOnline's new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, to get that 50% welcome bonus. Basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, college hoops, you name it, they've got it. Even your favorite Vegas casino games over there as well. So don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the games start. And don't forget that promo code LOCKEDON. Couple more thoughts on Florida State before we dive into the prop shop here. They've also got two five-star freshmen. Matthew Cleveland is averaging right around 10 points per game. He's off to a pretty good start on the season. Not going to burn you from three too much, at least based on what we've seen so far. He's 1 for 9 from three. But as a team, Florida State, if you remember last year, they were a really good three-point shooting team. They led the ACC in that category. This year, they're shooting at 36.9%. That's 70th in the nation. They're basically pretty balanced, like KenPom 32nd overall, offense 39, defense 34 on KenPom. And what is a little bit surprising is they're turning the ball over a lot, which I noticed when we're thinking about how did Syracuse beat Indiana, similar type of numbers to Indiana in terms of turning it over entering this matchup.
Yeah, and Syracuse capitalized on those turnovers too, turned it into some transition buckets. I mean, this is a team that you get them out and run with them. Like, that's certainly going to help out Syracuse. But yeah, I noticed the turnovers a lot, and a lot of them are unforced too. Did you see the non-steal turnover percentage? It's one of the worst in the country as well for Florida State. So that could be the fact that you've got a lot of new guys in and everyone's sort of meshing. Maybe a guy's doing a back cut and you didn't expect it. So that's kind of the growing pains they're going through right now. And that's probably why you will see Syracuse turn over Florida State quite a lot.
Right. The other thing that's interesting, so they're a pretty solid rebounding team, and that's to be expected when you're the tallest team in the country. You have those athletes. It's definitely a concern. But what's interesting is their offensive rebound rate is 31st in the nation on KenPom. So they're getting a lot of offensive boards. Their defensive rebound rate is 303rd in the nation. So not good right now. So I do think, you know, when they go up against Syracuse, they're going to be able to get a lot of boards, and it's going to be pretty similar to Indiana, probably, where in order for Syracuse to get back the possessions they lose on the glass, they're probably going to have to force turnovers.
Right. And I think a big part of this game as well is going to be, can Jesse Edwards stay out of foul trouble? And we're going to say this probably every single game.
Just cut it up so we don't have to keep saying
just
it. We
just hit the button. Yeah. Right. And then you just play it. Yeah. But no, I mean, this is going to be a good test for Jesse, because there is a lot of size down there that can disrupt you a little bit. And if he can't stay out of foul trouble, Syracuse isn't going to win a lot of games, because he's become such a vital part on both ends of the floor. And maybe he might struggle a little bit more offensively in this game, because the height's there. This is a defensive-minded team that blocks a lot of shots at the rim too. So maybe that poses some problems for him offensively, but you got to have him on the floor. And I think this could be a really bad matchup, because not only can Florida State get you in foul trouble, they're not going to get in foul trouble because you can run through so many bodies.
All right, let's dive into the prop shop now. We do this before every single game. Right now we have dead even records, 10 and 13. We both are to this point on the season. I'm down $280. You're down $250. So you're ahead by $30 right now. We were both 3-4 in the Indiana game. I hit Buddy as the leading scorer. We both picked Indiana to cover. They did not. We both hit the over. Is kind of the synopsis of that. We're going to run back one of the props we did against Indiana, and I felt like I got a bad beat on this. You hit this, but I'll set it at the same number. Cole Swider, over under 12.5 points. I know you wanted to talk about Cole, so I figured we'd throw him in the prop shop here, but I'm going to take the under. I just feel like once the competition has gotten tougher, we haven't seen great off-the-dribble offense from him, and he's worrying me a little bit because Florida State and these ACC teams are really going to key in on him behind the arc. And yes, he's going to start to make some more threes, but I'm a little worried that maybe we're not going to get the type of production that we thought offensively from Cole Swider entering the year.
And I think this is a bad matchup for him, which is funny because I've predicted him to play very well in games that I thought he had good matchups in. So maybe it's the reverse thing. Maybe a bad matchup's a good thing for him. So you know what? I'll go over the 12.5. Why not here on Cole? Especially if guys, if he's getting a lot of different defenders on him, I think that might help him a little bit, which is sounds weird to say because, oh, defensively they can throw different looks at you. But defensively, I think so much attention is being sucked into to what Buddy can do, even what Jimmy can do. And there's going to be some focal point of defense on what Jesse Edwards can do offensively. So Cole Swider might kind of slide below on the scouting report here. He might be the fourth or fifth guy that gets keyed in on the Syracuse offense, and that might let him go off for a little bit in this game.
All right, next one we talked about a little bit, but turnovers forced for Syracuse. I'm going to set the number at 16 and a half. They're averaging right around 14 turnovers forced per game. They had 25 against Indiana. I think Florida State will be a little reckless at times. It'll be interesting, too. One note, Raquan Evans, their point guard, he did not play against Purdue, and it's a really sad story. His brother passed away, I think, to a rare form of leukemia. So we don't know if he's going to play, but he is a guy that sort of runs the show for them offensively. And if he's not in there, then maybe that'll jack up the turnovers even more. I'm going to say Syracuse forces more turnovers. And I guess, you know, the question mark here, and we could even impromptu make this a prop shop thing, but will we see Buddy at the high post again? Will we see the 1-3-1 look that we saw? That'll be interesting as well.
I don't know who Florida State's going to throw. Again, they've got so many bodies that they've got so many options that they can throw out there. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll see it get brought out at a certain point. It's just going to be – the question for me is, are they going to lead with it, right? I'd imagine they don't lead with it, but they'll shuffle it in at some point throughout the game. But to the turnover question, I'm going to go with over as well. I think this could be a game that Florida State turns the ball over upwards of 20 times. And it doesn't necessarily have to be because of some stingy defense or a lot of length disturbing them. No, it could simply be they just throw a couple of passes out of bounds because they have been kind of careless with the basketball.
I'm going to say they don't go to that 1-3-1 look, and I'll make it a prop just for fun, just because I think it's very personnel-based, and I think Florida State has some shooters that could burn you there. The trouble with that is then Buddy's so far into the lane that it's tough for him to get out on some really good wing shooters. And I think a lot of why they did that was because of Trace Jackson Davis. But Florida State is a team that's played against the zone. They've scouted against it. So it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to throw out a different wrinkle there. The other thing is, I wonder if Florida State noticed. I mean, they definitely have noticed that they did that, but I wonder how they're preparing knowing that Syracuse did throw that out in the last game.
There's definitely something in the game plan for it. Like, be ready for this. And who knows? Maybe Syracuse will throw some different iteration out there. Like, I don't know.
That'd be
like,
maybe
they'll play man-to-man. Who knows? Like, for a little bit. I don't know. But it'll certainly be – I think you will see some sort of unorthodox defense at some point out of Syracuse.
All right, last one before we get into the – annual or gamely question of who will lead Syracuse in scoring, but we'll set the over under for 3-pointers allowed for Syracuse at 9.5. I'm going to go over. I think Florida State is not a great three-point shooting team, but they're at home, and this has been such a trouble spot, even against bad three-point shooting teams this year, that I don't have much confidence in them keeping it in single digits.
Yeah, they don't shoot a lot of three-pointers, only about a third of their shots, but that hasn't meant anything in the past. I mean, you see teams that don't shoot a lot of three-pointers then go up against this sort of defense and they're bombing away from deep. I'm with you. I'm going to go with the over on the 9.5 here. I'm trying to think of what number would make me go under. It's probably like 11.5 or 12. So yeah. For that reason, I'm going to go with the over.
All right, who will lead Syracuse in scoring? Updated the odds a little bit. Buddy is now plus 100. Then a little bit of a drop-off. Gerard plus 250. Swider plus 300. In a tie now with Jimmy at plus 300. Jesse is climbing up, trying to sneak into the top four. He's plus 350 now, which means if you put down 100, which we do hypothetically on all these bets, you would make 350 if Jesse leads the team in scoring. Benny plus 750. Other plus 1,000. I'm going to ride with Buddy. He came through for me in the last game. It just seems like he's one of the few guys right now that is getting to his spot. And that's going to be a big concern in this game, is how does Syracuse's half-court offense do? Because this is a quick, athletic Florida State team, similar to Auburn. Not quite as good defensively as VCU, but they're going to pressure the ball. And that worries me when we talk about Girard and Swider and even Jimmy to an extent. So I'm going to ride with Buddy.
Yeah, it's really tough to go with anyone other than Buddy. I mean, high-profile game, first ACC game of the year. And I mean, Florida State hasn't seen this iteration of Buddy Boeheim. So I'm going to roll with you here. I'm going to take Buddy. I know it's no fun for us to team up on these sort of things, but I would have really, like, literally any other opponent, and I may have rolled with Jimmy for the odds here. But I think a team with length like Florida State could really disrupt what Jimmy does. Like, that's something about Indiana is they didn't have the longest dudes. They didn't have the biggest dudes. So it was a little bit easier for a guy like Jimmy to get some of those circus shots. And I say circus shots, but those are practice things for Jimmy. Yeah. Like, he's not just going out there whipping the ball up and it's magically going in and he's getting lucky. No, that's something that's practiced with him. And I think against a team like Florida State, they'll be able to disrupt those with some of their shot blockers.
All right, we'll get into our score predictions in just a little bit. But before we do that, some more numbers on this matchup from our guy Anthony DeBundo over at the Action Network.
The numbers you need to know. Anthony DeBundo breaks down the biggest stats for this week's Syracuse matchup. Stats, everybody. DeBundo's digits. If you ain't taking stats, kick the out the class. On the Locked On Syracuse podcast.
I'm still catching my breath from the Orange's double overtime win against Indiana, but the games are coming fast for Syracuse and there's no room for a breather as the Orange begin ACC play on Friday against Florida State, and it wouldn't be a Leonard Hamilton team without two things, length and depth. The Noles are the tallest team in the country per KenPom, and it shows. Their shortest expected rotation player, 6'4". They also have a deep bench. They rank 55th in bench minutes. The Orange's biggest issues defensively here do not match up well with the Seminoles. They don't match up well with anybody. The Orange are 307th in effective field goal defense percentage allowed. Rebounding is always an issue for the zone, but it will especially be an issue on Saturday, given that the Noles are 29th in offensive rebounding percentage. When you take out all priors and look at just the seven games this season, Syracuse is 307th in defensive efficiency. That's the 51st worst in the entire country. Unfathomably bad, but it's not all bad. The offense, 7th best. So all the extremes we potentially mentioned early in the year, they seem to be very true here. 7th in offense, 307th in defense. But as we get into Florida State, they're not exactly trending up either. The Seminoles were boat raced by Purdue on Tuesday night in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Based on the opening 7 games, the Noles are just 66th in offensive efficiency and 50th in defense. Florida State nearly lost to both Boston U and Tulane at home. They've been very up and down. They did have Raquan Evans for the loss against Purdue. It's not clear if he'll be back for this game after attending his brother's funeral. He is a veteran leader of this attack. It's very well balanced across the board, though. They lost 3 of their 4 scorers from last year who averaged double-digit points per game. Scotty Barnes, Raquan Gray, MJ Walker, all gone to the pros. But as Leonard Hamilton does, he replenished those losses and has 3 new players averaging 10-plus points per game. Caleb Mills, Malik Osborne, and Matthew Cleveland. Osborne is the senior. He's a 6'9 shooter who can also rebound at an elite level, shooting typically over 40% from 3. Mills transferred from Houston, didn't play a ton last year, but does a little bit of everything in this Florida State backcourt. And Cleveland has made 19 of his 21 attempts on close two-pointers this season. His matchup with Jesse Edwards in the middle will be one to absolutely watch. But the Noles will go 9-10 deep here, so don't be surprised to see some full-court pressure. And since the podcast guys are on the Analytics JV team, they asked me to come up and explain what offensive rating is on KenPom. Let's keep it simple. It's point produced offensively divided by possessions used. A high offensive rating can be misleading if a player has a low usage, say less than 15% of possessions, and a 100 offensive rating is considered average. There's a strong argument, though, for example, for Jesse Edwards, that even though his rating is a little inflated because of low usage at 154 rating and 15% possessions, he should be getting way more looks than he is, because even if the efficiency comes down a little bit as usage goes up, they're still getting very efficient offensive play from the big man who Jim Boeheim deemed was not ready to play last season. The rating itself is calculated mostly around points produced through made shots and free throws, but it also factors in assists and offensive rebounds that lead to points and one major detractor. A high turnover rate still counts as possessions, which is the denominator. So the rating goes down with a high turnover rate. It's generally a good metric to judge how well an individual is contributing to his offense. But again, the number of possessions used is important because anything in small samples can be skewed. Let's get back to this matchup, though. Bart Torvik gives Florida State a 78% chance to win with a projected score of 79-71. KenPom has the Seminoles at 75% to win, projected score 80-72. It's a good litmus test to see if the Orange can compete with a bigger and more physical opponent, and if they can beat them with their superior shooting ability. So far, that has not gone well in games against physical teams. But Florida State also hasn't beaten a quality opponent yet either. Lost to the only two good teams they've played. I'll be interested to see if Hamilton extends some full court pressure and if the Orange can force turnovers against Florida State like they did on Tuesday against Indiana, especially considering that the Seminoles have historically had issues with turnovers when they've been flat.
All right, thanks to Anthony DeBundo, as always. Most importantly, thanks for clearing up the offense.
There we go. That's all we needed. I didn't care about the rest of the stuff. All I needed was offensive rating.
Right. Well, we appreciate it. You can follow his work over on Twitter at Anthony DeBundo. Check out his bets on the Action app as well if you want to tail him for some of his plays. And hopefully,
if you like soccer, that's your guy.
Yes, big soccer guy for sure. So we appreciate his work as always. And guys, this holiday season, grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, or even better than a candy bar, a Built Bar filled with so much holiday goodness, rich with decadent flavor, covered in chocolate, but amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, and high in protein. You get the best of both worlds. Delicious and healthy. So many flavors, you'll have a hard time choosing. Cherry or double chocolate, cookies and cream, or peanut butter brownie. There are tons of great flavors of Built Bars that give you the extra fuel you need to bust down those mall doors and battle all the holiday shoppers. Or if you're just standing in endless shopping lines, Built Bar can give you that extra something to keep you going. So throw one in your jacket or purse. You never know when you're going to need it because it's the season of peace and love. Don't bring up your favorite Built Bar flavor at family parties, though, because people are very passionate like we are about our favorite flavors. There's so many good ones out there to choose from, like some of those marshmallowy treats around the holidays. You need to get your hands on Built Bar Puffs as well. Those are one of my new favorites. They're light, fluffy, marshmallowy through and through, different flavors, all covered in chocolate. They taste so good. And you won't believe that they are filled with protein. They are somehow good for you and very delicious. I promise you guys will love these. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. You get 15% off your order. Again, the promo code is LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, so let's dive into this matchup some more and just basically answer the question, can Syracuse pull off the upset in this game? Right now, I look at KenPom's projection of what the game score will be, and Syracuse 62 on KenPom, Florida State 32, and he's predicting Florida State to win, or his calculations are predicting Florida State to win 79-72. I would say it's going to be a little more high scoring than that. I realize I've said that on every preview podcast so far, but I think they are a good
6-2 on the over.
Mm-hmm. 6-2? Is that what it is?
Or okay. 5-2. 5-2.
5-2, yeah. Yeah. That feels right, and I guess overtime has helped a couple times. Some of these games have gone longer than, well, I guess it's that one overtime. I don't know. I mean, it probably would have hit the over anyway because it was.
Yeah, it would have because it was in the 80s. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think tailing the over on Syracuse has been the play so far. I do think that Florida State isn't quite as good as what we've seen Florida State in the past. We're catching them at a pretty good time here. They've been shorthanded. They have a lot of newcomers that are not totally familiar with what they're doing and what their roles are quite yet. So I think this is a chance to pick off Florida State, a better chance than we've had in the past. But you can also flip it around and say Syracuse isn't sure what they're doing on defense right now. And that's the big thing. Plus the rebounding edge is going to be definitely in the favor of the Seminoles.
Let's put it this way. All right. Florida State doesn't want this December ACC game to come against Syracuse, and Syracuse doesn't want this December ACC game to come against Florida State. That's kind of my feeling on what this matchup is right now. It can go a number of ways. I'm with you. I think it's going to be high scoring. Florida State's put up a lot of points against the bad defenses that they've played so far this season. Syracuse is going to be another one of those bad defenses. So I expect Florida State to hang somewhere in the 80s, mid-80s, high-80s in this game, and I think Syracuse could be right on their tail in this game because as good as Florida State is notorious for their defense, this isn't the Florida State defense we've seen the last 2, 3, 4 years. This is a little bit worse of a Florida State defense. So I think Syracuse can hang within the 7. I don't think they're going to necessarily win this game, but again, they're going to be, I think they're going to have a chance in this game to win. If I had to pick though, I would go Florida State, but I think Syracuse hangs within the 7.
I think it's close to the half, and then Florida State goes on a long run, and they make enough adjustments to the zone. It seems like teams are sort of getting better on the zone as the game progresses here.
Here's how it goes. It goes one of two ways. Either the zone gets torched in the first half, and Syracuse makes the adjustments out of half,
yeah.
Or the zone stifles the team in the first half, and
well,
then
stifles,
they make the
that's
stifles
strong.
Enough. Syracuse yeah. will head into the half with the, like against Indiana. I think Syracuse, even though they let up what, like 32 points in that first half, it was, feel like they let up yeah. 32 or however many points it ended up.
Yeah, making. It was right around there. Yeah.
It felt like a pretty good defensive effort. It was more the pace of the game that allowed Indiana to get as many points as they did. But if something like that happens, you usually see a counterpunch from the opposition and they figure out how to score in that second half.
Yeah, Jim Boeheim was pretty candid in his coach's show. He actually, when he got to the show, he was like 45 minutes late on the show tonight. But when he got there, he said something like, yeah, the defense is even worse than I thought it was going to be. Like, our defense is really bad right now. And talked about how the execution at the end of the last game was as bad as he can remember. And we didn't jump on the rebound, he said, and kind of called out Benny as he's tended to do throughout the week here. But I mean, he understands the defense. He understands the principles. And even after the Indiana game, he was like, what changed? Someone asked him about the first half defense, and he said they basically just missed shots, according to him. And the defense hasn't been good at any point this year. I think this is a chance to pick off Florida State, but it's also just such a tough place to win. Florida State's hungry for a win as well. They probably have a better chance in this game than the Villanova game, even though it is on the yeah. road. But it's two tough games in a row here.
And listen, here's the way I feel about it, all right? Just because you lose this game against Florida State doesn't mean you can't pick off the one later on in the season. When do they play again? Mid-January they play. So like probably like the 7th.
This feels like the time to get them, though, even though
they're
not in the dome.
I'm with you. I'm with like yeah. this is a good time to get Florida State because they're still kind of figuring out who they are. They're kind of licking their wounds from the ass-whooping they took against Purdue. So they're a vulnerable team. I don't think they necessarily know who they are right now
yeah.
because you've played in close games against teams that are significantly worse than you, and you've lost two games and they haven't been close. So I think Florida State's still kind of trying to figure out if they're a good team right now.
Yeah, I'll say that Syracuse covers whatever the line is, and I haven't seen it from betonline.ag yet, but I think it'll be somewhere in the neighborhood of that KenPom projection. And I would say take Syracuse to keep it close for the first half. Maybe Florida State pulls away and we're looking at a 10-point game for most of the second half, and then maybe they can kind of sneak in with some late buckets to sort of cover that.
It'll be one of those
line.
Games that feels like a cover, but you might not actually cover.
Yeah, I could see that. I just think Florida State has a lot of athletes, and as much as they're not really sure what their identity is, it's still Florida State. It's still the same type of guys that we yep. have really struggled with against Florida State in the past. And the part that scares me is that Syracuse's offense is going to have to work for points in this game. And I know the offense has been spectacular so far, but Florida State can pressure you. They can kind of make it so that you have to beat them off the dribble a little bit, force you to not settle for threes. And I think that's sort of tough for Syracuse. We saw that against Auburn and VCU as well.
Right. It's again, you're going to have a good shooting performance against this Florida State team, because I think they'll be able to pour it in on the other end. And it kind of comes down to, is this going to be more like Indiana where you're hitting your shots, or is it going to be like the Auburn game or VCU where you're not making your shots and you're having a tough time offensively? That's literally going to be the MO for every single game this year.
Yep.
Is Syracuse hitting their shots or not? I think the defense, you're going to get a consistent effort of what they're going to be. They're probably going to allow somewhere in the 75 to 85 point range. It's going to be, can the offense keep up?
Well, we hope you guys enjoy the game on Saturday. Follow along with us on Twitter at @LO_Syracuse. We will have a recap pod for you guys on Monday. Then we'll get you ready for Villanova early next week. And all throughout basketball season, all throughout the football offseason, we'll be tracking all those moves, recruiting, everything you need to know about Syracuse. We are the only place for daily SU pods. So subscribe if you haven't already. Check us out on YouTube as well. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you guys on Monday.